Please be seated and turn in a church Bible or your Bible if you brought one to page 788, the passage we just heard, Mark chapter 4, page 788, the church Bible. Looking at verse 13, Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" There are roughly 60 parables in Jesus' teaching in the Gospels for us to understand. It's a good place to start with this one. The parable of the sower is the key to understanding them all. So let's dive in together, and as we do, let me pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you that you speak to us through it over and over again. And we're listening, Lord. We ask that you would empower us by your Spirit to understand this parable and all the parables and all of your words so that we might live it faithfully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's first point is Jesus. Say it with me, Jesus. Thank you so much. You may have heard that this parable is all about you. But I say unto you, this parable is about Jesus. You may have heard that this parable is about whether you're in the good soil or not, whether your faith will endure through trials, tribulations, and temptations. It's not primarily about that. And what a relief that it's not primarily about us. There's, I think, a very well-intentioned Bible translation app called the YouVersion. What a terrible name. It is not all about us. Praise God. This parable is about Jesus. Thank you so much. He told it to explain what he was doing back then during his ministry in Palestine. That's why he told all the parables, as a matter of fact. And Jesus makes this crystal clear when he later explains this parable to his disciples. And that starts in verse 14. So we're really starting in the middle of the parable here. So look at verse 14 on page 788. He says, "The sower sows the word," the message, in Greek, the logos. The word is so vitally important that Jesus uses this term, logos, seven more times in the next five verses to explain what he's doing. It's right at the center of Jesus' ministry. Sure, Jesus has been going around. He's been healing the sick. He's been casting out demons. He's been doing a lot of miracles. But ever since he returned from being tempted in the wilderness by Satan, his number one task has been to go out and proclaim the word. Began back in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, which says, "After John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel.'" And a little later in that same chapter, Jesus gets up early and goes off to a solitary place to pray. And Peter goes looking for him. Peter says, "The people are clamoring for you. They want more healings." And Jesus, what do you think he says? Does he say, "I'll be right with you"? He says, no. He says, "We must keep moving. We have to go to the next towns that I may preach there also." What's Jesus doing? He's on the move. He's spreading the word about his coming kingdom. It's like a political campaign trail, except there won't be any voting on election day. Jesus will be installed as king through his sacrificial death and resurrection. But at the moment, he's spreading the word, a word that's not primarily about us. Rather, it's about what he, the sower, is doing. He's the main character in this story, and that's why today's first point is Jesus. Thank you. Second point. Keep listening to Jesus. Starting in verse 15, Jesus explains the four soils. They refer to four different ways that the supporting cast in this story will respond to his word. Let's walk through the four options. And as we do, pay close attention to the word for hearing or listen. This is the Greek word akouo, from which we get acoustics. Verse 15. These are the ones along the path of the road where the word is sown. When they hear the word akouo, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And where has Jesus been spending all of his time since chapter 1? He's been on the road, on the path, going to the next town, and the next town, and the next town. And why? So he can keep sowing the word. And already there have been those who have rejected the word. The Pharisees and the scribes among them, people who hear the word, but immediately reject it. What's going on with these people? Jesus explains. Satan comes like a bird and gobbles it up, steals it away. But not everyone is like them. Look at verses 16 and 17. These are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear, hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. Where does this happen in the story of Jesus? Who receives Jesus' message gladly and endures for a while and then falls away? Can you think of anyone? Most of the disciples, right? Think of Peter, for example, whose name means the rock. Turns out he's on the rocky soil. What a surprise. How appropriate that he, on the rocky soil, after Jesus is arrested, denies Jesus and falls away, like the other disciples do. All except for Judas, right? What about Judas? What happens to him? Look at verses 18 and 19. Others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear, akouo, the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. What happens to Judas? The cares of the world. Another way to translate that, the cares of this age, this time, what's happening now, those cares, the deceitfulness of riches, choke out the kingdom. For these reasons, Judas will betray Jesus. And what about the last group, verse 20? Those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear, akouo, the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. As Jesus told this parable and as Mark reports it to us, there's a subtle but important shift in the way that it's told. You can't see it in the English. I'll tell you what it says in the Greek. The first three soils, Jesus describes the people hearing in a past tense, kind of singular one-time events. They heard on the road or the path one time. They heard on the rocks one time. They heard on amongst the thorns one time. But the good soil, at the end, he describes it a different way. He shifts to this present tense, and it's continuous. They keep hearing. They keep listening and listening and listening to the word, the word, the word. And that is what makes all the difference. They keep listening, present tense, to the word of God. And because they're listening, they bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Do you see the difference? Oh, I see, said none of the disciples in verse 21. They probably didn't get it until after Easter. Because Jesus, remember the first point, this is about him, because Jesus laid down his life for his friends. And after he rose from the dead, he began appearing to them, and many who were in the crummy soils started to bear fruit. That's really good news, isn't it? when Jesus, the risen King, served Peter fresh fish on the beach at Capernaum for breakfast. Peter started hearing the word and listening to the word and listening to the word. And he's like, fishers of men, holy God. I can't say that in front of Jesus. Of course. And he goes out and starts to spread. Pentecost, 3,000 fold. And he was in the rocky soil before. How about that? So remember, all is not lost when people hear the word one time and don't believe. Perhaps like the apostles, they simply need to keep listening and experiencing the rest of the story, huh? Second point, keep listening. Keep listening. Keep listening to Jesus. Third point, this is the hardest one today. It's hard because it requires some backstory in the Old Testament. It's hard because it's hard for us to hold mercy and justice in tension. But here it is. Keep listening to Jesus, the judge and the savior of the world. The judge and the savior of the world. Verses 10 to 12. So rewind a little bit. Jesus is inside with his disciples and he's explaining why he has shifted from speaking openly to telling parables in public. Verse 10. When he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. What an odd thing for the sower to say, who's been out spreading the word everywhere, right? How strange for him to suddenly be secret. Why do this? And the answer has everything to do with Jesus being a real king. Not, we don't just say that about him and really think of him only as a savior, and really only as a savior of what's happening inside us. Jesus is a real king, and those of you who work in government know that we really need our leaders to be both sweet and just. Jesus is a real king who comes to set things right. He is both judge and savior. The quotation here in verse 12 is from Isaiah chapter 6, when God sent Isaiah to rebuke Israel's corrupt and wicked leaders. It was an era of enormous wealth, prosperity, and idolatry, and it was benefiting the ruling class, and everyone else was suffering enormously. And Isaiah had a hard job of going to them one more time and telling them, last chance, guys, unless you repent, you're going to be decimated by a Gentile empire. Jesus first spoke today's parable into a milieu that was eerily similar. All the groups in power, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priests of the temple, the Herodians, they're all exploiting their kinfolk, their fellow Jews. They're all benefiting from corrupt systems, making them rich and keeping the others very poor, destitute, and they're all doing it under the guise of true religion. As with Isaiah, part of the word that Jesus came to sow was that judgment was at hand. And if you go back and if you read the Isaiah passage in context, you're going to find that the point is not to keep people from repentance. Rather, it's to assure those who are suffering that justice is on the way. You don't have to wait much longer. And it did come in Isaiah's time, at least in part, through the Babylonian exile. But in the distance, what Isaiah and all the other prophets were looking forward to up in the distance was the coming of Jesus, the Messiah King, who comes to judge and to set everything right. Jesus came to save us, undoubtedly, but his salvation is comprehensive. He doesn't just heal one part of us. He doesn't just make our hearts squeaky clean on the inside. He sets things right in us. He sets things right between us and God. He sets things right between us and one another, and he sets things right in our broken and unjust world. When Jesus sets things right, there's both mercy and justice, both righteousness and judgment. But again, in order for Jesus to be enthroned as king, he had to go to Jerusalem. He had to go to the Temple Mount and die as a sacrifice. And he had to rise again from the dead on Easter. And without Good Friday and Easter, there's no defeat of Satan. There's no judgment day. There's no forgiveness of sins either. So he has to be shrewd in public now because these guys are onto him. He has to sow his word in parables because they are starting to get suspicious. He has to be clever until it's really his time to die. It's like this Russian politician, Boris Nadezhdin. Did you hear about him this week? He handed in 100,000 signatures to the election commission in Moscow so that he might run against Vladimir Putin a month from now in the March elections. And I heard a radio interview with him on BBC NewsHour, and the host was like, "Aren't you afraid?" And he seemed incredulous, like, "What could happen to me?" You know? And the host says, "You know, Mr. Putin's other political rivals haven't fared that well. Alexei Navalny is in a Siberian prison camp. Boris Nemtsov was murdered within sight of the Kremlin. Others have met similar fates all around the world." And Nadezhda just kind of shrugs it off. I don't know, you know. It's really unclear whether it's courage or naivete. But in any case, by Friday, the Kremlin had already disqualified him, or was on the way to disqualifying him, saying that many who had signed on in support of him were dead. What an ominous sign, huh? How sad. That's the same kind of thing that Jesus was up against. Jesus' actions have already put his mission at risk. Just in the last chapter, verse 6, chapter 3, the Pharisees and the Herodians, two mortal enemies like Republicans and Democrats, have come together with a singular mission on how to destroy Jesus. So in public, from this point on, Jesus will sow his word in parables until it's time for Golgotha and God's judgment on the principalities and powers of this world. Which leads to a fourth and final point, very briefly. Keep listening to Jesus, our judge and savior, and sow his word. This is now where you come in. God has blessed us tremendously by the time that we live in. We know what happened at the end of Jesus' story. We know about Good Friday. We know about Easter. We know about Pentecost. We have the Gospels telling us this story, the whole story of Jesus' victory over sin and evil and death. So for us today, the application of this parable is not to look down at our feet and study the soils, not to discern whether we're on the road or the rocks or the thorns. If you're a friend of Jesus, he died for you. Keep listening to his word. Listen. Just like every other passage in the Bible, we are to look to Jesus and to become like him. He's the main character in this story. He's in the spotlight, not us. We keep listening to him, meditating on his word day and night, soaking up his promises of salvation and justice. And we will embody who he is. We will carry out his message of salvation and justice into a world that is dying apart from him. Jesus is sad and furious that two fathers were killed in carjackings in our city this week. He is going to set everything right as his kingdom comes more and more. So, as we keep listening to him, as we become more like him, we can't help going out. to sow his word. We can't help but see fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Listen. Listen, Jesus says. Behold, he says. Sowers went out to sow to all nations, even to the ends of the earth. Amen. Pray with me. Lord, let your kingdom come in us. Transform us more and more into your likeness, and send us out from this place to be your ambassadors, to sow the seeds of the kingdom wherever you would have us go. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.